Now, aren't you thankful that we have a faithful God, a God that is there through it all, that no matter what we face, no matter what trouble or trial we are going through, we are never alone. Hope everyone, as I said, had a great Christmas, had some good time to enjoy with family and getting together, opening presents, and you know, it was a tiring day at my house as we were still recovering from sickness, but as I was telling everyone, we had the best Christmas present of all, and that a little after lunch, we all sat down, and I believe every single one of us took a three-hour nap, which was the best part of Christmas for us all. But this morning, we want to continue to look through the Christmas story. And we're going to be continuing to look at the God who makes the impossible possible. And today, we want to specifically look at waiting on the God who makes the impossible possible. You know, when I think about the Christmas story and I read passages like Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 1, there's one thing that you can't help but notice in the Christmas story, and that is the fulfillment of God's promises. The fulfillment of God's promises just runs throughout the entire Christmas story. The fact that God is a God who keeps His promises, that He is one who keeps His word as revealed by Him sending a Savior. And today, you know, the meaning and keeping of promises is extremely important to even us. As we make promises all the time, I'm sure that in a crowd here this morning, that you have made some promises either the last week or maybe about, well, maybe next year you'll get this, or I promise you next year you'll get this for Christmas. Or maybe you've made promises during this last month. And when we make these promises, it's important that we keep them because it's more than just our words that are on the line. Because when we make those promises, we are putting our entire reputation on the line. Because what we are saying when we make a promise is, I am saying to you, based on my honor and my reputation and my integrity, that this is going to happen. And if we don't keep that promise, then usually a lot of bad things happen. And here's the thing. It's important for us to keep in mind and remember the Old Testament when we read through the Christmas story. Because as you read through the Old Testament, what you realize is that God is making a lot of promises. And as He does so, He is putting His own reputation on the line. He's saying, these things are going to happen. And guess what? They do. And I'm not just talking about general kinds of promises and guarantees. No, the promises that God gives often have some specifics about this, about what is going to happen. And I'm talking about God saying thousands of years before Christ ever came on the scene, all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, when God told Eve that the seed, that there will be a seed that comes from the woman who will crush the head of the serpent who deceived you. You look at the prophets, and they give some some specifics. We can find in the prophets that it talks about something significant that is going to happen in a little town called Bethlehem. You look at the prophet Isaiah, and in Isaiah 7 it says that there will be a child, the child who will be the Messiah, will come from a virgin. We see that the prophets say that there will be another child that is born before the Messiah who is going to be significant, and we see that there is a child who is born by the name of John the Baptist. There were some specifics that were given throughout these promises that God had to fulfill. He said, this is going to happen. It's going to happen in a little town called Bethlehem. This child, this Messiah, is going to be born of a virgin. And when God gave that promise, he put his entire reputation on the line. And then you get to the Christmas story, and we see that God is faithful to fulfill his salvation promises. He kept them, and he fulfilled them in the child that we call Jesus Christ. And that should give us a lot of hope today. Because the promises that God gives us today, we can know are valid and true. We can know that they are trustworthy just by looking at the Christmas story. Because we see in the Christmas story that God is doing what he says he is going to do. And so this morning, I want to finish up our series by looking briefly at a person who is often left out of the Christmas story. A person who comes along at the very end of the Christmas story by the name of Simeon. He often gets very little attention. But Simeon confirmed the fact that God keeps his promises in Jesus Christ. That God is a faithful God. So let us begin looking here in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to begin by looking there in verse 25 as we begin to read the end of the Christmas story by looking at a man named Simeon. Luke writes in verse 25, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." So here we can see, first of all, the person. In verses 25 and 26, we see that there's a man by the name of Simeon. He was described as a righteous and a devout person. He was following the law. He was serving God in all that he did. He was faithful in what he was doing, and he was waiting for the Messiah, because it says that he was waiting on the consolation of Israel. That phrase, consolation of Israel, is a term that comes from the book of Isaiah. As it's important to remember where Israel is at this time in history. They are at a bad point in history. As we looked at last week, Herod is still the king. And we saw Herod was one of the most evil kings over Israel. We see later on in the Christmas story that he has many children, young male children killed, trying to kill this child who was supposed to be the king of kings. He didn't want anyone to challenge his authority. But not only is Herod king over Israel, we also find that they are still under the rule and the oppression of Rome. Israel longed to be free. They wanted to be their own kingdom. They wanted to be their own nation. And they did not like the Romans whatsoever. And so we can find that at this point, many of the Israelites were discouraged. Many of them were facing despair, because for hundreds and hundreds of years, they were waiting for the Messiah to come. So this phrase, consolation of Israel, was spoken of by the prophets, because they said there will be a time when God will come and he will comfort his people. The word there that we translate as consolation is actually the same Greek word that is used to refer to the Holy Spirit. As when the Holy Spirit is described as our comforter. So what it is saying here is that Simeon was waiting for the time in which God would come and comfort his people. What is the comfort, though, of Israel? That God is going to bring forth a Messiah that would bring them out of their political and their spiritual bondage. All of the Jews were waiting and longing for that day. They thought the Messiah would come as a mighty warrior. He would defeat the Romans. He would sit upon his throne and make Israel the greatest nation in the world. That's who they thought the Messiah would be. And so here is Simeon, a righteous and a devout man who was waiting for that day when God would send the Messiah to comfort them. But Simeon had received a promise. In verse 26, we find that the Spirit came upon Simeon and promised him something. And I believe that this promise came early in Simeon's life. I believe that Simeon was young when the Spirit told him. It was a promise that he would not die until he saw face to face the one whom God was going to send as the consolation of Israel. And Simeon had to wait a very long time. And if you haven't noticed, that's another theme that runs throughout the Christmas story. We saw the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. They had waited their entire life for a child. They were old. So old that Zechariah said to the angel, "You must be mistaken. I'm old and my wife is old. We cannot have a child." We see that's the same with Anna, whose story follows here after Simeon. Anna was 84 years old, and since her husband had died, she had not ever left the temple. For she stayed there at the temple, praying, fasting, worshiping God, because she was praying that God would send the Messiah. She had waited a very long time for her prayers to be answered. And here is Simeon, and he had been waiting a long time for the Messiah to come. And waiting, if we're all honest, is something that we do not like to do. We live in a fast-paced society, and we do not want to wait. But there's something that we must understand, that God works faith in our lives when we wait on Him to do what He is going to do. You know, you and I don't like to wait any more than Simeon does. But here's the deal. God is working to produce saving faith in your life right now as you wait on Him to fulfill His promises. And yes, I know how frustrating it is to wait. I made the worst mistake of my life about 2 years ago on Black Friday. I told my parents and my sisters, I said, "Hey, I'm going to go out on Friday morning. If there's anything that you need, you know, just tell me. And I'll try to go find it for you, see if I can get it." I says, "I'm not going early. I'm not getting up, but, you know, I'll go before the sales end." So I ended up with a little list. And on that list was two things from Kohl's. And I don't know if you've ever been to Kohl's on Black Friday, but I do not recommend it. I'm going. I've got Benjamin in my arm. There were no carts. And I had two little, not little things. I think it was a dish set or some serving set. And I'm sitting there, now how am I going to carry all of this? Here's Benjamin. Here's these two big boxes. No carts. Luckily, there was a nice person in the store that said, "Hey, would you like this cart that has a seat so you can put your son in it and put your items in it?" And they gave it to me. I got my items, and I started to go up to the checkout line. I didn't realize I wasn't supposed to go up. I should have went back, because that line wrapped from the registers all the way to the corner of the store, then all the way back to the back of the store. So I moseyed my way on back. And I waited in line for an hour to buy two things on Black Friday. It wasn't worth it. Because as I was standing there, everybody was getting frustrated. We were all getting tired of waiting because we're like, this, we don't want to wait. Many people had other stores to go to, other things. Benjamin was getting hungry. I'm like, I just need to buy this. Can I get out of this store? Because we don't like to wait. No one wants to wait. You don't want to wait an hour to buy something. But you know, our waiting usually just includes minutes. Sometimes hours. Sometimes our waiting might be days. But do you realize that Simeon waited decades? Do you realize that Elizabeth and Zechariah waited an entire lifetime for a son? Do you realize that Israel had been waiting hundreds and hundreds of years for the Messiah to come? Our waiting pales in comparison. But here's the deal. While we wait, God is working to create faith in you through this time of waiting. But then we see the waiting period, but then we see God fulfills his promises. Let's look there in verse 27, where it says, "And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said." So here we have Mary and Joseph, and they're doing what every Jew would have done, and something that was very common. They were taking Jesus to the temple, because every Jewish couple would take their firstborn to the temple to be circumcised and dedicated to the Lord. And Joseph and Mary, they would have traveled for days to do this. And lo and behold, when they walk into the temple with Jesus, Simeon is there. And so Simeon gives a blessing. In verse 29, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." Lord, now. It is an adjective of time, and what Simeon is saying there, he is saying, "Lord, now I am ready to die. I can go home because I have seen the Savior." And Simeon even talks about the fulfillment of the promises. For in verse 30 he says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation." He says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." And can I say, I absolutely love that part. Because can I remind you this Christmas season that salvation is not found in religion? Can I remind you that salvation is not found in some ideology? Can I remind you that salvation is not found in some philosophy? Can I remind you that salvation is not found in some sort of lifestyle where your good outweighs your bad? No, salvation is found in a person. And when Simeon looked upon this baby, he says, "I have seen your salvation," because he knew that it was through this baby Jesus that God would redeem Israel. But not only does he redeem Israel, look with me in verse 31. It says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. Not only did Simeon realize that this Jesus, that this little baby boy was going to redeem Israel, but he also realized that this baby boy was going to redeem the world. Because it says that he was a light to the Gentiles. He was a light of revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to the people of Israel. He is saying Jesus is the light, that he is the light of revelation. Simeon says that Jesus is the light. Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in me will not walk in spiritual darkness, but he will have life." He says he is the light. And that's important because, you know, the thing about light is that light changes any environment in which it is found. Now, I don't know about you, but I have never walked into a room and said, "Hey, would you mind turning on the darkness?" No. Darkness has no power. Darkness is only the absence of light. For light is the game changer. And he says, Jesus is the light. Because Jesus alters the environment in which he is found in. That Jesus is the one who changes everything. That Jesus is the light of salvation for all who would believe. Because without Jesus Christ, without the light of Christ, we would have no hope and we would all perish in our sins. But because Christ came, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope for salvation. That if we believe in him and believe that he was truly the Son of God who came to die upon the cross, and he died upon the cross as a substitution for us, he took on the penalty that we deserve. He took on the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. And he died upon that cross. He shed his blood. And if we believe, though, on the third day that God raised him from the dead, then we can have hope. We can be saved. Because, see, that's what Christmas is all about. Christmas is a celebration that Jesus is the light that overcomes the darkness of sin, death, and hell to the extent that our wait for salvation is now over because he has come. And you know, there are many who are waiting today. You know, we as a church, we are waiting. We are waiting for God to fulfill his promises. We're not waiting on the first coming of Christ. No, we are waiting on the second coming. We are waiting for death to be no more. We are waiting for a time in which there will be no more sickness. And you want to know what Christmas communicates? It communicates that God is faithful to fulfill his promises. And that Jesus is the light of the world. And that the wait is over because God has brought salvation to us. And God is going to be faithful to fulfill all the other promises that he has made. And he will send Jesus back. And when he does, then all things will become new. All that is broken in this world, all that is going wrong in this world will be set right. And we can have hope in that future because of what happened on that first Christmas. Because God has promised us that he will send Jesus back, just like he had promised to Israel and to the world that he would send Jesus in the first place. And God fulfilled that promise. And so we can trust that God will fulfill all his promises. And that is our hope today. So I say to you, church, keep waiting. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep honoring him. Keep embracing the light. Don't walk in darkness because our journey of faith is well worth it. And God will honor your faithfulness to him. So we wait on the God who makes the impossible possible. Because we know he is a faithful God, and he will do what he says he is going to do. So we keep on. We keep on working. We keep on serving. We keep on sharing. Because we know that one day Christ is going to return. And that our faith will be honored. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you again for this day. We just thank you for all of the Christmas story. We thank you for your faithfulness that has been shown through all the different parts. Your faithfulness to Zechariah and Elizabeth. Your faithfulness to Mary. Your faithfulness to Simeon. Your faithfulness to Anna. your faithfulness to the Jews, but your faithfulness to the world. Because Christ didn't just come for the Jews. Christ didn't just come for a specific group. No, Christ came for the world. That we, Gentiles, are able to come together here this morning to worship you because of your faithfulness in sending Christ to do something in which we could not do, which is make atonement for our sins. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness. But, Father, it's so easy to get tired. It's so easy to become discouraged. It's so easy to begin to face despair and to wonder, is it all worth it in a world that is falling further and further away from you? But Father, we know it is. Because you have promised us that Christ is going to return. And that everything that is broken in this world, all the evils, all the wrongs, all the death, all the sickness, everything will be set right. And so, Father, we must press on. We must continue on living for you in all that we do. And we can do so because we know you are faithful. So, Father, I pray that as we wait, that you will just continue to build our faith. Continue to encourage us. Continue to send us out to do your will as we wait for that glorious day when we will see Christ face to face. We pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing.